Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and host of Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. You can find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today's topic on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is all about how to take advantage of the current very low interest rate environment. Even before COVID-19, interest rates were relatively low, but due to stimulus initiatives by the Bank of Canada, rates have plunged even lower. With no real indication that rates are going higher in the near term, as great farm managers, we have to ask ourselves, how do I take advantage of this situation to enhance my income statement and balance sheet? Today, we're going to talk to Terry Betker of Backswath Management. Terry assists farmers and ranchers across the country on best management practices to enhance their farm profitability in the short and long term. Hey, Terry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Sean.
Hey, it's great to chat with you. This is a really, really interesting time. You know, we've had a huge push lower in the key lending rate by the Bank of Canada. We're seeing the same thing with the Federal Reserve in the U.S. There's not a lot of ways for the Bank of Canada or the Fed to go lower at this point, unless they're going to go negative. Interest rates are at historical lows. We have been here before, though. A lot of people that are farming today think about the 1980s and what, you know, the rates were double digits, and it really threw a lot of farmers, forced them actually out of business. But let's talk about the now of this. Based on what we see right now in front of us with really, really low interest rates, what are some of the things that we need to be considering to take advantage of this situation that's presented to us?
Well, I think this is, I think the points that you make about historically rates being higher, the history is interesting, and the history makes sense in the context of what was happening at the time. And I the farmers that I talk to now, the context of the discussions about interest rates are aligned more with opportunity, more than with the gravity of double digit rates and interest cost. So how do farmers take best advantage of these lower rates? And I think there's a couple of things to look at here. For some farms I know that have been on the wrong side of the weather patterns in the last couple of years here, there's some working capital challenges, and the interest rates being where they are perhaps better enable farms to look at refinancing and actually saving some significant dollars through that refinancing, and at the same time taking advantage of the lower interest rates. So if I may, I'll just carry on a little bit. If the goal or if the desire is to strengthen the farm's working capital, its liquidity through refinancing, then I think it becomes a matter of two considerations. One, what working capital do they need? How much restructuring should they look at? And what is their residual debt servicing commitment on the other side of the restructuring? I regularly will see farmers who work through a restructuring activity with their lender, and in my observation, don't quite go far enough. It's a little bit more a scenario of apply a Band-Aid to it, versus if you're going to do it, make sure you do it and take full advantage of that activity. So that's one thing, especially if the farmer is in a situation where he or she are looking to improve their working capital. That's one thing, Sean.
Is there an argument against restructuring at this point in time, or is there a scenario that comes to mind where it's like, yeah, that wouldn't be a good fit?
I can't think of that. I have those discussions with farms. There was a time, clearly, where a lender's ability to structure long-term debt repayment could have been prohibitive to restructuring because they were locked into loans at a certain maturity, at a certain size. But the flexibility in how a farmer can structure their long-term financing with any of the lenders gives them so much, well, there's so much flexibility with it. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't look at restructuring if their working capital is constrained.
Now, a lot of times we talk about, you know, trying to reduce your debt and pay off some of that debt. There likely is some farms out there too that, you know, have a decent balance sheet. They've got some good working capital. They've been sitting on the sidelines. This kind of low interest rate environment could present the opportunity to maybe even expand because taking on more debt is, quite frankly, so cheap.
Yeah, and I think there are farms out there looking for those opportunities. And to me, that is one of the, if the farmer's balance sheet is strong, then I think that's a logical approach to the interest rates. How could somebody take best advantage of that? So there's two parts. There's the growth, the expansion. I still run into some farms that could use some capital upgrades. But a lot of farmers have over the last number of years got their machinery in a pretty good position. The other opportunity perhaps might be to look at how this low interest rate period could enable some intergenerational transition. If there's some transition that's looming, how could we take advantage, or how could the farm family take advantage of that at this time and enable the transition? Perhaps even if the transition wasn't maybe really going to crystallize or come to reality for 2 or 3 years or more into the future. So that's another potential benefit to this opportunity.
Man, that's interesting. There's one I didn't think of, that actually it's a succession opportunity. And you know what, yeah. Quite frankly, as much as we drag our feet on that one, any sort of trigger to make those things happen is a good thing in my mind.
Yeah, I think so. And that's not that much different from what you asked at the outset here, is how do we take advantage of it? Really, it's the transition is a business discussion. I know there's family and all the factors that fall into that discussion, but it is about good business management. The other comment that I was going to make about the opportunity associated with low interest rates would be for farmers to look at how best to benefit from those costs. So if you can reorganize your debt and take advantage of lower interest rates, and strengthen your cash flow, one idea might be, if there wasn't, and I say this a bit carefully because farms always need all the capital that a farmer can come up with, but my idea here would be that if the cash flow of a farm was fairly strong at the present and they wanted to reorganize and take advantage of it, and there were some cash flow savings coming out of the other side of that, one idea might be, rather than just allow some of that saving to disappear through operations or some other kinds of capital investment, is to perhaps park that money. So in other words, if you're current commitment to debt payment was, I pick a number, $20,000, and you could reorganize and get that down to $17,000, for example, then rather than just let the farm consume the $3,000 saving, put it into a savings account, start to save it, keep your amortization theoretically, or your commitments theoretically, at the $20,000. And you'd be surprised. I've watched some farms do this where they purposely try to aggregate or accrue some savings. Heck, there's even a good vehicle to do it, and that's in the AgriInvest, because that structure is already in place, and it would actually shield any interest growth in the farmer side of that AgriInvest account.
We'll get back to the rest of my discussion with Terry Betker of Backswath Management, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is brought to you by RBC. In the midst of this global pandemic, producers face a unique set of challenges and risks. The agriculture account managers at RBC are here to help you protect the well-being of your farm, family, and business. Visit rbc.com/businessrelief to learn more about the services and support available. So there's been a lot of farmers that have made, you know, I think, good decisions by letting mortgages float, right? And for a while there was a bit of a scare 18 months ago where it was, hey, you know what? Rates are going higher. And we saw, hey, I will admit, I was one of them, did a mortgage or our operation at the time where we locked in for, I think it was 3 years. So what do you do now? Do you continue to let, you know, rates float on mortgages, or is this the time where you lock in some pretty good fixed rates? What do you think?
Boy, that's a really difficult question to answer in a blanket response. I think it's so situationally dependent on what a farm's balance sheet looks like, how much debt they're carrying, situationally dependent on where the farm's at in their life cycle, situationally dependent on how the farm or what the farmer's tolerance for risk is. I there's farmers I talked to that did that. They 18 months ago or whenever that threat loomed that rates are going to go up. I know some guys went in and locked rates in at 4.25%, 4.5%, and I guess compared to 2.5%, or I mean that's a little bit perhaps expensive, but still not a bad situation to be in. Sean, when farmers ask me that, I suggest a couple of things. One is that this boils down to cost benefit analysis. So if they're unhappy with some of their interest rates that they're committed to, and they want to try to renegotiate, it is simply how much is it going to cost us to pay out debt? And if we amortize that, are we going to get a savings on the other side of that? If a farmer's looking at whether they should fix interest rates or let them float, and they're wondering about whether they'll go up or down, I don't think anybody knows. One of the things to watch is the spread between short-term rates and long-term rates. That spread will widen if the lenders think that there's a chance the interest rates are going to trend higher. It just stands to reason. A lender's risk in interest rates is less with short-term because they can float, and greater with long-term. So if they've got long-term money and they think that it might become more expensive, then they'll increase the interest rates on long-term money before they'll increase the interest rates on short-term money. So just watch the spread. It might give a farmer some indication of what might be happening with interest rates. I don't know if anybody could tell anybody what the right decision is for that. I know that optimizing, it goes back to my comment a couple of minutes ago. If someone's going to take advantage of lower rates, run them variable and take the risk associated with that, by golly, if that is a 2% spread over locking it in, I might suggest they take that 2% and either more aggressively repay the principal or park the savings so you get the double benefit of it. They just don't allow that benefit to disappear.
You beat me to it. That's exactly what I was just going to say, that, you know, one of the part I didn't include in the question was part of that depends on how much you think rates are going to go up in the near term. And based on some of the economic forecasts that are out there, there's reason to believe that likely is not a strong probability. So we could be at these rates for a certain period of time. Hey, Terry, one of the things you said earlier in terms of restructuring or refinancing, you said sometimes they don't go far enough. What did you mean by that?
So when a farmer is restructuring because they have cash flow challenges, they're basically taking some of their short-term debt and pushing it long-term. And my observations are there's a hesitancy to push too much from the short term to the long term. There's there's maybe it's a bit of human nature to say, well, yeah, I can probably get by. Let's say that there's $1 million that we're dealing with here. And the farmer might be inclined to say, well, I could probably restructure and get by with $750,000. And because things are going to get better, and I'm pretty optimistic, and we got moisture this spring, and whatever. And but my point is that if the $1 million will get the farm to as strong a working capital position as it can be, that's what the farm should do. And too many times I see where there was a restructuring activity, and the farmer opted for the 750 option versus going to the, you know, versus the full meal deal of, well, let's term out $1 million or $1.1 million or whatever is required. So that's what I meant by that. And the significance of that, well, there may not be much or any significance of that, except for one situation. And that's if the 750, as an example we're talking about here, isn't enough, and a farmer finds themselves back in a working capital challenge a year or 18 months or 2 years down the road, then they got to go back to a lender and say, can we do that again? And from the eyes of the lender, the comment comes, well, didn't we just do the restructuring? What happened? And so that's my comment, or that's more of the basis for the comment of sometimes they don't go far enough.
Hey, Terry, this has been fantastic. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on the show, and anytime. Love to chat. Thanks.
As Terry Betker of Backswath Management just outlined, there are some things that you should consider to take advantage of these low interest rates. Go through the decision-making process and see if there are some opportunities that you need to jump on to benefit your business in the long run. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. If you have any feedback, please email me at shaney@realagriculture.com or call the Real Ag listener line, 855-776-6147. I'd love to hear your stories or comments on how you plan to tackle this very low interest rate environment. Find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.